Good evening, Robert, and thanks for being with us here at WGN.
Well, thanks for thinking of me, John. Great to be here.
You have obviously seen the documentary, yes?
Oh, and then some.
And interviewed Peter Jackson for about 3 hours about Get Back. Give us some sort of impression of what you got from him, if you don't mind.
Well, that was something. I have a podcast called Something About the Beatles. It's on Apple and other podcast platforms. And who knew, but in New Zealand, Peter Jackson was listening. And we did several shows about this upcoming project with Dan Rifkin, who's a blogger at They May Be Parted, discussing the Get Back project, and Dr. Duncan Driver. And Peter was listening. And he reached out to me when the film was just about ready to come out. He goes, hey, I've done these 10-minute interviews all over on all these media platforms. I really, really want to go deep, and you guys are the ones to do it with. And, you know, we could have kept going for a week, as he said. You know, we're all kind of on the same level of geekiness when it comes to the Beatles. And it's like he's walking around with so much stuff he learned, and it's so exciting. He needed somebody to share it with. So we're going to be parceling it out over the next 3 weeks, 1 hour apiece, on the Something About the Beatles podcast, because it's just so cool to hear him talking about the process.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a daunting thing, now almost 8 hours long. But he had 57 hours to work with, you know, and he's a geek.
How many,
would have kept going longer if he got away with it.
How many hours to work with?
He had, it was like 57 hours of footage, and there's even more hours of audio. And this was just stuff that was just sitting around, not used, because the original film, 1970, Let It Be, ended up being an 88-minute cut. So all this stuff, all this magic that you've now seen and half the world has now seen, it boggles the mind that they'd be sitting on this mountain of gold and not get this stuff out there sooner.
I mean, the section of Get Back that I played is from a 2009 remix, I think. I mean, the idea that there would be some sort of Beatle material that's not being utilized for commercial success is amazing to me, especially of the magnitude of this particular documentary that it's been sitting around for all these years. I mean, I find that to be unbelievable. Where was it?
The thing is, it was sitting in the vaults. You know, Apple, the Beatles company, owned it. But because the film in 1970 took so long to come out, it was 15 months between when it was created and it reached the public. And then when it did reach the public in May of 1970, it was as the Beatles were breaking up. Therefore, to a man, for the next 50 years, each ex-Beatle described the Let It Be project as the most miserable, horrendous, awful period in their career. And it's really a major mischaracterization, but that's why they kept the film out of circulation for so long. They didn't want to go back to it. And it's one of these things where their memories of it seem to be informed by both the breakup happening that they associate with the Let It Be film and album, and also just what they saw in the film, which was really just like a keyhole perspective of what really went down. The actual story that Peter Jackson tells so beautifully is seizing victory from the jaws of defeat, because they're doing this wildly ambitious project of trying to do a TV show concert, but filming every step of the way, them creating new material from scratch. What a challenge you set for yourself 6 weeks after dropping a double album. And so, very ambitious, but the Beatles wanted to keep ahead of everybody else. And so the story is, they start out not knowing really what they want to do, if everybody's fully on board, then George quits, but they resolve their differences halfway through it, bring in Billy Preston, finish it, and then do that live recording session on the rooftop of their office building, where they're just firing on all four cylinders, they're so excited, and from there they roll right into Abbey Road. So they were on a high when they left, and that's what this project really should be known for, is that they did an amazing turnaround on something that could have splintered the band, but didn't. They didn't break up.
No, they didn't break up, and you don't get the sense from it when I was watching it. First of all, Yoko Ono did not break up the Beatles, that's for sure. I mean, you get that 100% from watching this. And you get a sense of camaraderie, I did, and friendship. I mean, Paul brings Linda McCartney, they were married at the time, and a daughter into the studio. And, you know, it's all very casual. I didn't get the sense.
Very family.
Yeah,
everybody's
totally
accepting and playing with Little Heather. And
yeah,
they're all enjoying each other like an extended family would.
Well, the exception of, and I read an article in the New York Post yesterday, and I'm sure you can confirm this if it's true, and I would believe it, that Disney wanted to eliminate all the smoking and profanity from the documentary. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. It's true. And Peter Jackson told us that in the interview that he did have to fight for that because, you know, we're all grown ups now. You know, this isn't going to be shown on the Disney Kids channel. And, you know, it's a different world. I could get their appreciation, but Walt's been dead for 50 years. So I think it's time to move on.
Well, I can understand Disney balking a little bit. Wait a minute, I thought we were going to do something about the Beatles. How come they're smoking and swearing? Well, because that's the way it was, really. I mean,
yes.
I mean, if you take that stuff out,
English.
You're not getting the story if you eliminate that.
And that was the thing they always railed against was the whitewashing of their own story.
Right.
Like when that book came out in 68, Hunter Davies' authorized biography, there they minimized the swearing and some of the more unsavory aspects. And John Lennon complained about it. He's saying, you know, that's not us. That's a whitewash of our story. They wanted to be honest. And that was really part of what was informing this particular project is let the public see the creative process at work. It's not always pretty. You always hear about, you know, having or seeing sausage being made, you know, that's what this was, only it's artists. There are going to be headbutts and, you know, disputes and arguments and walkouts. But then you end up with this magnificent final product. And that's the thing that's the most miraculous thing that I think is blowing people's minds now. You see Paul McCartney pluck the song Get Back right out of the air.
Yeah. That truly is one of the... That was a turning point for me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. These... The episodes are well over 2 hours long, each one. And I was feeling a little, okay, you know, this is getting a little boring maybe, I don't know. And then he gets into this Get Back section, and I'm like hooked, line and sinker. I mean, where do you ever see any artist of any kind start the first thought about the song that you know from the years that it's been out, and you watch him create it right in front of you. It's very casual. It's not like some super duper something comes out of the sky and Paul McCartney is in a spotlight and he's got an idea. They're like grungy and, you know, they've been up all night or whatever it is. They're sitting around. It's just awesome. A lot of us.
Yeah, to witness that miracle creation like that and him being at that moment so tuned in. And I think that was one of his gifts. You know, anybody that's been around him for any length of time saying he just, it's like breathing with him, just pulling melodies out of the air.
I guess so.
And to have it caught on film, what an amazing thing.
You know, a lot of us have seen footage from the concert on Top of the Roof, but I had never seen it intercut with the London police showing up at the front door trying to shut the Beatles down. I thought that was a hysterical section because they're up on the roof without any pre-announcement or anything else. All of a sudden, you got the Beatles playing on a rooftop and people are stopping in the street and it's loud. And not everybody's in tune with the Beatles, you know. Some of the older British folk found a little something to be upset about and called the constable. And him trying to get in, the two British bobbies trying to get in, and then a supervisor comes. And everybody ends up on the roof with the Beatles, and they stop. Not because the police were there, but because they were done. And and the rest, as they say, is history, so to speak. What do you think about...
Yeah.
Okay, now, you're a Beatle fan. You're around for the Beatles. I was around for the Beatles. A lot of people who might look at this were not around. Do you think that there's a generational thing going on here? That if you were younger and didn't experience this firsthand... that this still resonates with you?
I think it absolutely does. I think it transcends the sort of stereotype of this is just a baby boomer band, you know, that when this generation grows up and grows older and dies off, no one's going to care about the Beatles. That's baloney. As soon as the Beatles made it to downloads, what becomes the most popular song? Here Comes the Sun. And somewhere I've looked up the figures. There's nothing that belies the myth that only older people care about the Beatles or people that were around. When you look at the staggering figures for downloads, guess what? It's not 70-year-old first-generation fans that are doing downloads. It's kids. It's younger people.
Right.
That's their currency. And the Beatles are as popular as ever. Another way to look at it is if any, you know, 19-year-old happens to wander into the room while this is on, it's the Beatles inventing reality TV, for Christ's sake. You know, it's just, it's an amazing thing that's got something to pull people in, no matter what your level of interest. If you don't think you're interested in the Beatles, sit them down in front of 10 minutes of this. I guarantee they're going to be hooked by something.
Oh, well, not only that, but it's rock and roll. I mean, if you're into rock and roll at all, it's not that different then than it is now. I mean, just ask the Foo Fighters. So, I mean, it's all right in front of you. Do we have time to take a call? Let's go to Joe. Thanks for calling in. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Joe. I live in St. Charles, and this is a great documentary.
Yes, it is. What did you get from it? What was the overall impression you had after you watched it? I mean, is there something that changed in your thought about the Beatles, or were you aware of something that you didn't know before? How did you feel?
Well, I'm a big Beatles fan. I have the original Let It Be release that came out, and you know, it was very primitive, and there's a negative feeling about the movie. And actually, to be honest with you, John, those guys smoked a lot. But other than that, you know, they're in a band, and these kids grew up in a working class environment after World War II, and they just like to play music. And they were at the height of their career. White Album came out. John did something with the Rolling Stones. And George Harrison just came back from New York before they did this, and he was hanging out with the band and Bob Dylan. So he saw a lot of things. And these guys got back together. And at the beginning, they looked bored, and they were tired, and they decided to go into the studio in Apple. And they got down to basics. And bottom line, and I know there's a time limit here, McCartney said it best in that movie, in the documentary. We do our best when our backs are against the wall. And they did a great job. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm disappointed about this is you don't see the full rooftop concert like you do in the original Let It Be album.
Well, don't go away because you probably will one of these days. Thanks for calling. I mean, come on. I'm sure we can repackage this somehow. Is there anything you'd like to add, Robert, before we wrap it up? First of all, thank you for being with us again. Is there anything you want to pass on?
Oh. Yeah, I would say that anybody that thinks that it's too long or too tedious, I wonder if there's the same people that thought Ken Burns was too long for taking a week on PBS to unfold a story in real time. I think this is, as Peter Jackson points out, if he didn't use as much of the good stuff as he could, it would just end up in a vault for another 50 years, never get seen by anybody. And I think if you give this thing a chance, I mean, the hardcores are going to dig it no matter what. They're going to want more hours to it. And I think those people who feel that way should prevail upon Disney to give us an extended cut. Peter's saying that himself. He's saying that it's only going to take pressure from the fans. You want more.
I knew it. On. Absolutely. All right, Robert, thank you so much for being with us. That's Robert Rodriguez. As you can tell, he knows a lot about the Beatles. I've been writing about him. He's got that podcast. Peter Jackson listened to it. They get an interview, 3 hours about Get Back. I mean, come on. That's pretty awesome.